Pond, Minnesota, a small town on the outskirts of Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're kind of rural here, and we like it that way. And even though we're a small town, don't be confused. We have big thoughts, big ideas, and big hearts here. Welcome to the greatest podcast you've never heard of. You're listening to the Pork Pond Gazette. Hello and welcome to the Pork Pond Gazette. I am your host, Mike Rathbun. And you know, I was thinking the other day about, well, you know, if you follow the show, you know I'm thinking about kindness a lot. But have we, as a people, the country, the world, have we become less kind? And I think that's what I want to talk about today. And I have the perfect person to talk about it. Gentleman's name is Mark Matthews, and Mark has so many great insights into kindness and what kindness can do for you. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, Mike, it's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Where are you today? And we'll let the listeners in on a second. Are you still in Colorado?
I am. I'm currently in Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder. Garden of the Gods. Have you seen it? Wait, is that in Boulder?
I have no idea. I haven't done my adventuring yet, so hopefully we'll find out soon.
So, and Mark and I talked before the show, obviously, and we were talking about this whole thing. Are we less kind today as a people? What do you think, Mark?
I think as people, I think we value kindness more, and yet we are less connected to the experience of kindness.
Do you think we're practicing kindness less?
I think that we're practicing what we think is kindness, but unfortunately, in such a fast-paced, goal-oriented world, I think we're practicing what, it's kind of like we're performing kindness instead of practicing kindness. And I know that's a subtle distinction, but I think it's really useful to see what's going on here.
Yeah, I like that. We're performing it. So when we talk about kindness, and I mean, if you've listened to my show before, you know that I am all about kindness and how that can transform lives, and not just the person that you're kind to, but the person, but yourself too, because when we do that act of kindness, you get that little dopamine rush of doing something nice, and of course the person receiving it, obviously they feel good about it. Talk to me about so when you and I were talking, you mentioned a thought about competing goals. Can you talk to me about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, for your listeners, a little bit of where I'm coming from, I am a social psychologist. I have everything done for a PhD in social psychology at Ohio State University, except the dissertation. That's the stage I'm at right now. And when I think about kindness, when I think about human behavior in general, I think about, well, what are our goals? And what's competing with them? And I think one of the problems that we see that emerges is that people have the goal to be kind, have a value of kindness, and I think it's important to define that, but they want to do good for other people. They want to create a better experience for the people around them. They want to make people feel good. And if you take that to the next level, they even want to help people along in their story, which is how I think about it. And at the same time, they also want to be seen as kind. They want to be seen as a kind person. They want other people to look at them and say, Mark's so kind. And that's a different goal. Those two goals right there. And when we realize, I think this is probably the greatest insight that has not really came to prominence in psychology right now. I'm going to shout out a researcher, Dr. Jennifer Crocker, who talks about this. She's been talking about it for a decade and she's been studying it. We have these ego-serving goals, these ego goals, and then we have these compassionate goals. or these kind of serve other people goals. And when you have those ego goals, they crowd it out. And so I think that's where we get to performing kindness, doing acts that make us look kind, versus actually just practicing kindness and being fully present in the experience of doing good and helping people along in their lives.
So you're being kind, and that's a noble thing, and it's a good thing. But you're saying we oftentimes do it with ulterior motives, to look good or so that people will think better of us. And honestly, yeah, I mean, and I've talked about this on the show before. When you're kind, you get the greatest benefits from it. And when I say benefits, I don't necessarily mean, you know, fame or riches or anything like that, but mental health benefits when you do it when you're expecting nothing in return. You just do it because it's kind. Is that correct?
Well, I think it really depends on how you're motivated as a person and how you see the world. So I think for you, Mike, I mean, I've only, you know, talked to you once before this. I think for you, that's exactly what happens. It's why I'm on your show. I mean, I feel the kindness. And in our previous conversation, it's like, I feel like we're in a sphere of genuinely wanting to help each other along and other people along. But when people are motivated in order to build their ego, in order to be seen as the kind person, they don't get the mental health benefit unless someone notices and acknowledges and says, "Oh, you're so kind." And so when you're motivated by the ego to receive the benefits of kindness, you need the validation. When you're fully present and you're actually performing kindness, that's when you get what you just described. You get this feeling of joy, this feeling of positive emotion, and this feeling of meaning from just being kind when you're motivated the right way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I I've done this before. I have a stack of post-it notes, and I write on them, "In case nobody told you today, you're amazing. In case nobody told you today, you make the world more interesting." Just little things like that. Now, if I leave that on somebody's car door or on their, like their window or whatever in a parking lot, I still feel good because I know they're going to see it and they're going to hopefully, you know, it's not like I taped it, so they're not going to have to scrape the tape off of their window or something. You know, it's a post-it note. So hopefully they'll see it and be happy about it, right? And I don't get that, "Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. That really made my day." But I can still feel good about it because I know that I assume. Okay, how about that? I assume that they'll be pleased with the note. So, but yeah, and by the same token, the other day I was, stop me if I've told you this story, Mark, and we've only talked one other time, so that's not saying a whole lot. So my wife and I were shopping at Walmart, and it was Easter Sunday actually, and there was a woman there, and she had on this gorgeous yellow dress. I mean, it was really bright and really, it just made me think of spring and it made me smile when I saw it. And so I walked over to her and I said, "I'm sorry to bother you, but I said, your outfit really just kind of screams spring and it just made me happy. And I just wanted you to know that." And she puts her hands up over her heart and she said, she kind of gasped and she said, "Oh, thank you. That was so nice of you to say." So it's two different things. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about there. The being kind without getting to receive any of the recognition or the thanks for being kind, and the being kind where, you know, the person is right there and they said, "Oh," and I could see her reaction. I could see that made her happy.
I love that story. And what I would say too, by the way, is that it all has to do with how you're motivated psychologically. So if you're motivated like you are to just give the kindness and that feels good, when they say they like a thank you and appreciation, it doesn't have to boost your ego. It can just be this cycle of, oh my gosh, I actually affected, it becomes information. Oh, I actually hit kindness because you took a shot at it. It actually hit. And you're like, cool. It's a feeling of self-efficacy. I'm actually able to give kindness to people around me. And that's amazing. So I don't want anybody to hear this and say, oh, but I shouldn't want to be thanked or I shouldn't want to feel gratification. It's like, it's fine. That should feel good. It's just, if you're so focused on being a kind person because of what that says about you, as opposed to what you're actually affecting in the world, that is an indication that you have a growth point there, that you're more focused on building your ego and your self-image than you are about the experience of life you're actually having. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's completely normal. That's completely human. And that's your next evolution, that you can actually let that ego go because it served you at one point, but you don't need it anymore. You can just be kind, and that's what matters. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely. Now, and I have notes here, and I am not a good note taker, Mark. I'll say that right up, but it's going to be very clear here in a second. I have extrinsic desire to help and intrinsic desire to help. What were we talking about there?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. This is a fundamental understanding of human motivation. There's a theory out there. If anybody's interested in human motivation and you want to just like a basic understanding of the different types of motivation we have, you can look up a theory. It's called self-determination theory. You can go to the center of self-determination. And these amazing researchers created, you know, this theory with thousands and thousands of research studies that talk about the type of motivation we have. And extrinsic motivation is motivation that comes from getting something from what you're doing other than the experience. So you're getting paid, or you feel like you have to. You're doing it to make mom and dad proud. You're doing it to make your son or daughter proud. You're doing it to make someone else feel some way about your image or see you a certain way. And on the other side of that is intrinsic motivation. And intrinsic motivation comes from an intrinsic desire to do what you're doing. Intrinsic motivation means that you're motivated by having the experience itself and no other reward other than doing it. It's flow. It's being fully present. And when you do that, you get massive mental health benefits. You feel restored. You feel energized. You feel a greater feeling of autonomy, a greater feeling of competence. And a lot of times you even feel closer to other people when you're living from that intrinsic motivation.
Nice. Now, is that something you can work on and build on yourself, or is it just natural? Does it just happen? Is it just in some people?
Absolutely. You can absolutely work on it. I make that a genuine practice in my life.
Okay.
That is how every goal I set, like big goal I set, I focus on how do I maximize intrinsic motivation? And the way you do that is you focus on really three key things. You focus on, first of all, do I feel connected to other people as a function of doing this? Does this make me feel connected to the people that I want to be connected with? Anybody who works at a job where they feel like they're in a silo and their work is just like serving some weird entity and there's no camaraderie, you don't have relatedness. And so when that's the case, your brain says, this isn't a meaningful function of my group. This isn't what we do. This is for some other reason. I can't understand why it matters. So you can focus on building a community around whatever you're doing. With kindness, you can focus on building a community around kindness. And the beauty of kindness as a goal is that it promotes relatedness. If you do a kind act for someone else and they do it back to you, then you're actually getting that, and it's actually can spiral into an intrinsically motivated relationship.
And other members of the team see it happen, and then they're inspired to do it. Boom.
It's huge. And that's just one. Another way you can do it is through increasing your feeling of autonomy, feeling like this is your act of kindness. And this is where, if you can free yourself from the ego, you will get so much more of a feeling of autonomy. Because one of the things that makes us feel like it's an extrinsically motivated thing to do is the fact that we're doing it because of a societal expectation, or we want someone to see us a certain way. If you feel like you should be kind, it's great. The idea that like it's a good thing and it would be really nice to do, But if you feel like I'm kind because I kind of am supposed to, like that's what we're supposed to do, it robs the joy. It's like I'm kind because I want to. I'm kind because this is like an experience I want to be part of. And so the more we over message about how important it is to be a kind person, an unintended consequence of that is that it can cause us to feel like our kindness is an expectation rather than a genuine, you know, self-driven opportunity.
Yeah, I never really thought about that unintended consequence. You know, we're hammering home, be kind, be kind, be kind. And somewhere out there, there's somebody saying, oh, fine, I have to be kind. It's too bad this is going to be an audio podcast because I did a really great eye roll there. But something that kind of goes along with this, and I want to turn it to you. Talk to me about the American Discovery Tour, because this is so cool. I absolutely love what you're doing, and I can't wait till that survey is up on the website. And we're going to post Mark's website, and we'll have links. Are you on LinkedIn? We'll have links everywhere in the show notes. But tell me what inspired the American Discovery Tour and what that is all about.
So first of all, like the American Discovery Tour, for people who don't know, is a project that's aimed to help people develop intrinsic curiosity towards other people. And it's not just about people who are new and different. It's about people right now who you already know. It's like, how do we get that intrinsic motivation back for learning about people? And so the American Discovery Tour was a project I created with that goal in mind. And I said, okay, well, I can't judge my country until I have actually experienced it. And shocker, you can't experience a whole country. It'd take more than a lifetime. But I said, I can do something. I said, I'm going to spend 1 week in all 50 states. And I'm going to try to stay with locals. I've stayed in over 80 different homes of people I had not met before this. Like, it would be like I came to you and we just sat down and we had dinner together and we lived life together. And we created a fast friend community in 2 days. We learned about each other deeply and we said goodbye. And we're a little bit better as a result. And I've been doing that over and over and over again. I'm literally in someone's house in Boulder, Colorado, who I just met last night, who's letting me stay here. They're not even here.
I'm blind.
I mean, it's crazy. But the thing is I was curious. I was like, why is it so hard for people to be kind towards the people that they disagree with? You know, people on other sides of the political spectrum, people of other different religions, people of characteristics that are different than you, people who don't uphold the values you value at the same extent. If you're a 10 out of 10 on kindness and someone's a 6, like people can't even talk to each other. You should be a 10. I'm only a 6. We can't talk. And I was like, this does not seem like the path to co-creating an empowered society, a kind society. And so that's what I'm doing. It's a genuine exploration. I call it the pilot study of my life. And I want to see from here on out, this is the first phase of what will be a whole career of researching the intersection between, you know, your personal life and building your personal life story and your country, particularly in America. I'm American. How Americans do that in context of this American story. Right. So that's where we're at right now.
That's so awesome. I think that's, and how did you come up with the idea to do this? I mean, what was the, I'm sorry if I put you on the spot. I didn't mean to.
No, it's great. It's great. I was driving. That was about it. I was driving. Here's the deal. So I grew up in small town USA. I grew up in a village. Shout out to Savannah, Ohio, the coolest village ever. I mean, it's like 300 people. It's like small town, very conservative America. And I'm doing my PhD at Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio, which is a very opposite.
The Ohio State.
The Ohio State University. And it's a very liberal city in one of the most liberal fields you could ever imagine. And there's all these differences between the beliefs of where I came from and where I'm at. And I resonate with a lot of people in both those communities. I have found a way to love both those communities. People in both those communities have been able to love me. And I was distraught watching the divide happen when I can drive an hour each way and I can see the actual people who are divided on the surveys and divided on the news and divided on wherever you look.
Right.
And I was like, all these people, if they sat in a room and actually got to know each other, it'd be a lot harder to hate each other. It would be very hard to do that. And so that's what motivated. I said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to put this to the test. I'm going to stay with as many people as I can across the country. I'm going to stay with people of all different beliefs, whoever will let me do it. And boy, I have stories for days of the different types of people I've stayed with. And I'm going to see if I can love them. And I'm going to see if I can love them and if they can love me. And that's a start. Can't say that worked for everybody, but I'm going to report on the experience, see what happens, and continue doing that for the rest of my life.
There is a book in there.
That's coming. That's it. The book's already in progress. I'm writing it.
This is basically research for a book.
Yeah. That's the right way to say it.
That's amazing.
It is.
You know, I have one more story. My mentor, somebody that I connected with on a really foundational level, like in January of 2022, her name is Lisa Domino White, and she is a happiness life coach from Colorado. And I just, you know, same way you and I met, I threw out a need a guest on the Facebook page. And she and I were talking. We were talking about kindness. And she has this story, and it's awesome. And I put it in my book, and I tell it anytime I can. So she was walking around her neighborhood, and there's one neighbor in her neighborhood that always has the perfect lawn, right? You know that person, right? No weeds. Lawn's like, I'm pretty sure he gets out there with his ruler and measures the height, and it's all uniform, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. And so one day she was out on a walk, and she saw him. She didn't often see him, but she saw him this time. And so she decided, clicked in her mind, hey, you know, compliment him. Tell him that he loved his lawn. So she did. She stopped, and she said, you know, I just wanted to tell you what a great lawn you have. It's always such a pleasure to when I walk, I notice your lawn and it looks amazing. And I just wanted to let you know that. And he was kind of humble about it. And he said, thank you though. And it was a very short conversation, but it was like two people chatting about lawn, right? Two human beings. And she said, as she started on her walk again, she noticed that the man had a campaign sign for a candidate that she did not support. And she thought to herself, if I had known that before I stopped, would I have stopped? And that's the key to people getting along and talking. Because if we each realize our own humanities, you're an American, I'm American. You know, this person may be a father like me or a grandfather like me. We may go to the same church. We have so much more in common but for some reason we tend to focus on our differences. And if we just remember each other's humanities first, we can get past that. I'll get off my soapbox now.
I love, you know, Mike, I just want to, this is heavy for your audience, but that story just reminds me of like why I started all this in the first place. And it started when I was 9 years old. You know, when I was 9, I lost my mom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I lost both my parents in childhood. Oh. But losing my mom was the most important one, because what was really powerful is as a child who I was mama's boy, I loved my mom. Every single Monday we had special day. She took me out. She bought me a toy. She took me to eat. We always were together. I loved my mom. When we would go to bed, you know, she'd take me up to my little room and she'd tuck me in and she'd read me a story and she would scratch my back.
Oh.
And when she would scratch my back, I can feel it. Every time I even talk about it, I can feel it. It's like my mom's there and I can feel her long nails. She kept long nails. She loved the pain. Wow. And I could just think about those nails just lightly going across my back, and I just felt so safe. and I felt so secure, and there's nothing else I wanted more in the world than what I had in that moment. When my mom was gone, I didn't have anyone to do that anymore. There's nobody in my life who I really felt like was my mom. But here's the secret. A lot of people chose to step up and scratch my back.
Yeah.
A lot of people in my community, and many of them had different beliefs. Many of them had different political signs in their yard. Many of them, if you probed into where they were, they thought something different was happening to me based on their religion. And other people thought, there were so many people. As soon as I tell anyone, even now, that I lost my mom, very quickly, that person either would give me a hug if they're not a hugger, or if they're a hugger, they're hugging me.
Yep. Yeah.
I can't let that go. That's the humanity. And because that was so apparent to me, that's why I can't let it go. And I want everyone to realize that because of that, we actually can talk about those things we disagree on from a whole different place. We actually have a motivation to learn and understand why we're different, because we feel that. Because people scratch my back,
yeah, because
I'm motivated to understand them. That's the
secret.
That
could be a great title for that book, Because People Scratch My Back. Just spitballing. That is an awesome story, Mark. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that with me. I think it's really easy to think the worst of humanity, and then you hear stories like that, and it's like, oh, maybe there's hope anyway. And God, I so appreciate you sharing that with me and with my dozens of listeners. No, that's amazing, and I appreciate it. Okay. And so here we are. I'm not quite sure how to wrap this up. I know that there is goodness out there and that you're living it right now. And I just think that we could fix this world if we could all just be more kind. And change a world one person at a time.
You know what I'd say to that? I don't think the world needs fixed. I think that we need to lean into these better parts of our humanity and let it evolve. It's natural. We didn't talk a lot about why people aren't kind. We talked a little bit, but like, let's just be real. You're busy. You've got a lot of things going on, and you have all these expectations about what you have to do today and tomorrow. And I think if people would realize that a dose of kindness each day, it will actually give you more energy. It will give you greater ability to tackle those things, but you don't think about it. I can't right now, honey. I got X, Y, Z to do. I have to do my taxes today. I have to do my taxes. I can't be kind.
Yeah.
It's like, that is a human mistake. The next level is to say, I have so much to do. Let's do a little kindness. Remember, that's why I do all this in the first place.
Right.
It's for that.
And it doesn't take long. You think, oh, I don't have time to be kind. 30 seconds, less than 30 seconds it took me to compliment that lady's dress. And the feeling and the power, the look on her face in less than 30 seconds. I'm pretty sure she skipped out of the store. I can't prove it, but I'm just saying. It's, you know, it doesn't take time. It's not hard to be kind and to change a world, even if it's for half an hour or, you know, whatever. However long that feeling lasts that your kindness inspired, it takes zero time. And you don't have to be Bill Gates rich to make somebody's day, you know? So I so appreciate you being on the show, Mark. I really do. I'm going to keep checking in. I got to find out where you're going next. There's a survey that's going to be on your American Discovery Tour website, correct?
Yeah. If you're interested in this, like if you have any desire to learn about people across the whole US and then eventually, you know, learn about the book as it releases and stuff like that, just go to AmericanDiscoveryTour.com and enter your email and you'll get a link. We have a survey where we learn about your life story. It's part of an academic research project that really wants to know what the heck is the American story. And so you can help with that. And we need everybody's story. Our goal is in, you know, over the next 10 years to capture everyone's story. And it starts now, because as soon as you enter your story, that's another piece of momentum and other people will do it. And there's more you can do there. So just go to AmericanDiscoveryTour.com, enter your email. You'll get all the updates, everything we've got coming. And we're here to serve you, help you live a happier, healthier life and a kinder life too.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for having me, Mark. I appreciate it. Have a fantastic weekend, sir.
You too.
We'll talk later. Such a great conversation with Mark Matthews. It's really cool to hear about kindness through a psychologist's lens. I don't know, but he's got so many great ideas, and I wish him so much success with his tour, and I hope he comes to Minnesota, and I hope we get to connect when he gets here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Pork Pond Gazette. And just remember to be that person who roots for others, who tells a stranger that they look amazing, and encourages others to believe in themselves and their dreams. I am your host, Mike Rathbun, and you have been listening to the Pork Pond Gazette.